Nope, not here.
You. I call the meeting to order, City of University Heights City Council meeting. Today's April 14, 2026. Welcome, everyone. All five council are present tonight. Approval of minutes, February 24th, March 10th, and March 31st. I'm going to say them all at the same time, and if there's any additions or corrections on any of them, we'll go back. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes on February 24th, March 10th, or March 31st? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. Then we'll go to comments from members of the public. Are there any public on Zoom tonight?
Not yet.
And nobody's present here. Okay, thank you. We'll go on to mayor's report. Consideration of motion approving mayor's proclamation making April 24th, 2026 Arbor Day in University Heights. Is there a motion?
So moved.
So moved by Nick. Is there a second? Second by McKenzie. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimous consent. Proclamation. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed, am I on the right one? Yeah.
Yes.
Proposed in the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, leading to the establishment of Arbor Day. Whereas 2026 marks the 154th celebration of Arbor Day, and whereas Arbor Day provides opportunity to teach students and residents alike about environmental responsibility and urban ecology, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce life-giving oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our community increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. Now, therefore, I, Louise Fromm, Mayor, on behalf of the City Council and the residents of University Heights, do hereby proclaim April 24th, 2026, Arbor Day in the City of University Heights, Iowa, and I urge all citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and to support efforts to protect our urban trees and woodlands. Further, I urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the heart and promote the well-being of this and future generations. Signed this 14th day of April 2026. Thank you. Then we'll go on to consideration of motion approving Mayor's Proclamation making May 2026 Bike Month in University Heights. Is there a motion? Motion by Lisa. Is there a second? Second by Nick. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Proclamation. Whereas the bicycle is an economical, healthy, and environmentally sound form of transportation, recreation, and enjoyment. And whereas increasing bicycle access and safety enables residents of University Heights, including young people, to participate more fully in the educational, social, and economic life of our community. And whereas the Metro Area Bicycle Network, including our off-street trail system, now attracts bicycle tourism, economic development, and helps to support and sustain local businesses. And whereas throughout the month of May, residents of University Heights can experience the joys of bicycling by participating in educational programs, rides, commuting events, charity events, or by simply going for a ride. And whereas these activities create greater public awareness of rights and responsibilities of bicyclists to improve safety for all. Now, therefore, I, Louise Fromm, Mayor of University Heights, Iowa, do hereby proclaim May 2026 as Bicycle Month, and May 11th through 15th as Bike to Work Week. And May 13th is the University Heights Bike Breakfast from 7 to 9 a.m. in University Heights. I urge all residents who are able to join in this observance by bicycling for fitness, recreation, or to commute to work. Further, I ask all motorists to drive safely with full attention to the road by putting away electronic devices, obeying all traffic signs, signals, and speed limits, sharing the road by allowing no less than 5 feet of separation when passing a bicyclist, or taking to the adjacent lane to pass on roads and speed limits over 25 miles per hour, and yielding to bicyclists and pedestrians as required by law. Signed this 14th day of April 2026. And then we have the consideration of motion approving mayor's proclamation regarding parking and related regulations during the Savannah Bananas Games at Kinnick Stadium in July of 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by McKenzie. Is there a second? Second by Doug. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Proclamation. Whereas the Savannah Bananas are bringing their 2026 Banana Tour to Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, Iowa on July 3rd and July 4th, 2026 for 2 games. And whereas the University Heights City Council desires to welcome fans and to encourage citizens to support and enjoy the event. And whereas the University Heights City Council desires to establish certain regulations for tailgating and parking for the Savannah Bananas Banana Ball Tour, pursuant to the Council's authority and jurisdiction to adopt regulations for the protection of the health, safety, and welfare of the community. Now, therefore, I, Louise Fromm, Mayor of University Heights, do hereby proclaim that the following regulations shall be in effect on July 3 and July 4th, 2026. There are 7 of them. Parking of motor vehicles will be permitted on yards with the permission of the property owner and/or property residents. Parking on streets shall be at the discretion and direction of the University Heights Chief of Police. Traffic regulation shall be at the discretion and direction of the University Heights Chief of Police to protect the health and safety of residents, motorists, bicyclists, and support teams. Sale of goods, merchandise, or services from property within a residential zone shall remain restricted as provided in Ordinance Number 81, which permits only sales from home occupations defined to allow those living at the property to sell items that are prepared on the premises. Signs, banners, and flags are permitted to be displayed with the permission of the property owner and/or property residents. Portable toilets may be placed on private property no earlier than 8 a.m. on July 2nd, 2026, and must be removed no later than 5 p.m. on July 5th, 2026. These regulations shall be in effect from 8 a.m. July 3rd, 2026 to midnight July 4th, 2026, signed this 14th day of April, 2026. Thank you. And I'd like to just say with my mayor's report, you've got an email where it's University Heights time for joint entities meeting. And Mike has sent around the asking for agenda items. And Troy's going to do a presentation on the Trails Project. A lot of people are interested in that. And so if you can attend, it's at the Marriott Hotel, as you know, on the 20th at 4:30. So I'll just go on to city attorney report.
Really quick, with this proclamation with the Savannah Bananas, did we need to include something about the noise ordinance because we were allowing Josh's team to have the concert playing until 11 p.m., or does that not matter?
Yeah, Troy's going to answer that.
The ordinance doesn't apply to noises that are originating outside of
Okay.
Iowa City. So much like a football game, what happens on the parking lot or what happens in the parking lot at Kinnick Stadium, we have no authority over
Okay.
regulating. Is that correct?
Okay. So we don't have to. Okay. That makes sense. It's on their property.
Yes.
Good question. Are there any other questions about that? Okay. Okay, we'll go to the legal report, Steve. I want to quit talking.
You're doing so well.
Yeah, he's on the
That's right.
So a couple of things. So yeah, third consideration of two ordinances. The first one is 258, which amends the community police relations ordinance to comply with state law. Nothing changed, just third consideration.
So moved.
Okay, motion by Nick. Is there a second? Second by Lisa. Discussion. Okay, roll call vote.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbal.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Ordinance is adopted.
The next item is ordinance number 259, which amends ordinance 52 related to the tree board. That changes the membership from 5 members to 3 and reduces the term in office from 5 years to 3. So again, nothing changed, just third consideration.
Okay.
So
that's before you.
I'll second.
Okay, motion and second. You got that too?
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Herbal.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Ordinance is adopted.
The balance of my report is taken up for in other agenda items. The only other item that I wanted to speak on, there was discussion at the March meeting about amending the what was called a conditional zoning agreement with respect to the hotel developers and their restrictions on owning certain property. Greg Stiltner was here and talked about perhaps wanting to buy a home for his daughter, for example. As I looked at the conditional zoning agreement, what I learned was that there were several variations of that agreement way back when, and there was discussion about prohibiting the hotel developers from kind of owning property anywhere in the city. But that's not the version that ultimately was agreed to and adopted. So the version that was ultimately agreed to and adopted prohibits, it's pretty specific. It prohibits the developers of the hotel from owning any properties, any homes on Melrose Avenue, east of Sunset Street, that have access to Melrose Avenue, and any properties on Lemur or Olive Port, but only if any of those locations is for ancillary hotel still stay related business, whatever that means. The product of negotiation and some strong feelings by certain members of the council at the time, that's what was agreed to. So what I'm saying is there's no prohibition for the developers to own a home in the University Heights for their daughter to live in, or for them to live in, or even to have them rent it. If it relates to somehow the stay at the hotel, then those particular locations would be prohibited. But discussing that with the mayor and with Greg, I don't think there's any reason for the council to take any action. I don't think there's any issue presented.
Any questions for Steve? Okay, thank you. We'll go on to the city administrator report. It's only 3 pages.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to touch on a few items. Item 2, just as a reminder, there was a single complaint about the missing sidewalk on George Street along the Grandview Court apartment. Both the city engineer Ryan and I have had conversations with a representative from Keystone Management, and I want to remove this item for the future, but I wanted to let you know that from the HOA board's perspective, they have no intent to voluntarily put in a sidewalk there. They listed a number of issues. They don't want to pay for the sidewalk and require a special assessment to their owners to pay for the sidewalk. Since the property was exempted or grandfathered when the ordinance was passed back in, I think it was 72, they were grandfathered in or exempted, and they feel like they should continue to be grandfathered in and exempted. If the city was going to require a sidewalk be installed, The city should have stepped forward and done that back in 2006 when they were doing improvements to the property. Single complaint does not justify construction of a sidewalk. Even if they put in the new sidewalk, in their opinion, there's a slight gap. They set a 3-foot gap between where their sidewalk would end and the sidewalk in Iowa City begins, which creates, in their opinion, a greater hazard and trip hazard and safety hazard to the public, and that there's a sidewalk on the other side of the street. So for those reasons and more, they are strongly, they have zero inclination of voluntarily doing it. I explained to them that I was just reporting to council that there was a complaint, and I quoted the ordinance and what council could and couldn't do. I'm not recommending action either way. That's up to council. I still believe that you have the authority to compel one there if you would like, but they would request the opportunity to come up here and speak before council if that happens. So that's just updating you on that, and I consider it handled, but council's free to take whatever action they want. And in the future, I know it was brought up in conjunction with our sidewalk project. I'd like to skip down to the Swisher track. That's number four. Pretty self-explanatory. It's moving along nicely, but I wanted to point out that I continue to meet. I think Nick has met with groups too, but I continue to meet with people in groups. We have another one scheduled for tomorrow, the 15th, tomorrow. That's right. The Oak Knoll residents, the One University Place Oak Knoll residents. And again, it is, there's people have questions, but really any concerns are usually alleviated by those meetings. That people have been very receptive to it and are interested in it. And I think that it's kind of snowballed.
Well, is this a good time? Maybe, I don't remember if we brought it up after the previous meeting in Walk, that currently the idea is we're going to save a lot of money by not doing a parking lot down
right
the building on the other side of the building, save quite a bit of pathway coming to the parking lot. So it just would go out on this side, come back. But then part of the catch is that we need to use reserve parking spaces in this parking lot.
Possibly.
So, okay.
Possibly.
So that's kind of where we have it sitting, is that we could still have it be compliant, but we would need to make part of these sidewalks kind of part of the path so that there are reserved spaces on the path. Does that make sense?
If we, depending on what grants we apply for, there may be requirements for accessibility and handicap parking. And if that's the case, then we will have to figure out how to make that happen. I think that there's space here and can make it happen. We've not had to cross that bridge yet. As Nick said, the conceptual design was that there would be this big horseshoe that went out. When we went out and walked around it, and in response to mostly OUP residents' concerns, that has been changed to, they call it an islet path that only goes out from the east side. It goes out to the same overlook area, and it loops around it and it comes back. I think it makes sense for a lot of reasons. One, it does cut costs. We're paving probably 60% of what we would have done otherwise. There, in talking with the environmental group that has managed the prairie, one of the best stands of buffalo grass in Johnson County that's been reestablished is down here, where we would need to tear out if we put in that proposed parking lot. There's also elevation change. Enough elevation change from the east side to the west side that for it to be that path to be the purpose, a 6-foot paved path, which I think originally we talked about 8, but a 6-foot paved path for people with mobility issues or people pushing a stroller or people wanting to take their book and coffee and walk out. There's far less elevation change this way. They're not having to go up and down. So it made sense on a lot of fronts, but yes. And just touching, but continue with that for a moment. We are at about the 30% design level right now. I meet with the design team. I meet with Adrian and Ryan from Bolton Mink every 2 weeks. This week when we meet, we're actually going to go walk it again with Ken from Backyard Trails. Ken and his crew have been out there flagging where the trails will go. Yes. And where, In some places, they will mirror the trails. They will actually use the existing trails. In other places, they pointed out that it's less than ideal to use those trails. So those trails will be reverted back to a more natural state because there are erosion issues with the water not crossing the trail, but actually running down the trail. So it is progressing nicely. It's progressing nicely, both the design, the on-the-ground work, and I think community interest and acceptance of it.
That's great.
Agenda that I just like to touch on. I don't know if John was going to talk on it or not, but the consideration, it's later, and the consideration of motion to move city's operating account to Hills Bank, that in part came out of direction from council to staff to just explore our banking kind of with an eye towards many, many things, finding the best balance of security, return, the liquidity we need, diversity of investment, and with a desire to bank locally when possible. John went around and did his homework, and he believes that it is in the city's best interest to move our operating account, not all of our funds, but our operating account to a vehicle provided by Hills Bank. And that's one of the considerations you'll have, but I wanted to just speak briefly on how that came to be. That was direction from council to staff to go out and see what we can do. And I just want to make it clear that we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. This is just our operating fund that we're talking about moving. And there's some advantages on electronic banking for making that move also. And then the other resolution I wanted to comment on was later on, there's consideration of resolution number 2610, which in a nutshell authorizes investments with iPaint. This is part of the Finance Committee's report, I believe. I wanted to comment, there's been conversations that Steve Kuhl and I have had, that John Brown and I have had, Steve Ballard and I to some degree, Nick has been involved in some of those, but there's been a bunch of piecemeal conversations, and I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. The resolution only allows for the possibility of investment by the city if and when the city believes that it's in the best interest to participate. It's just adding it to the accepted investment and banking practices for the city. It doesn't commit us to investing. It just opens the door, puts that option on the table. If John, acting on behalf of the city, or the city believes that that's a prudent thing to do. It does not commit the city to investment. And as a reminder, iPaint's an investment program that we have access to because of our membership to the League of Cities. It's not actually part of League of Cities, but it's a partnership, a collaboration with League of Cities. And my introduction to iPaint came from our normal contact with League of Cities, who suggested that we talk to Paul and consider it that many other communities are using this particular vehicle, and that it would be in the University Heights best interest to do so. That's how we became introduced to them, I guess. And then the last thing I wanted to comment on is the IPAT, the Iowa Public Agency Investment Trust, is not affiliated with the Iowa Trust Fund. I know that at least one person, if not more, has reached out to Nick because he shared that with some concerns about trust fund, and specifically the Iowa Trust Fund was the one that was singled out. The Iowa Trust Fund is a discredited investment program. It was accused of mismanaging, making unrealistic promises and mismanaging money. Lots of cities ended up, I mean, they were sued. Some of the people who were operating that particular trust were criminally charged. That is not the Iowa Public Agency Investment Trust. The only thing that's, they have two words, Iowa and trust, happen to both be in their names, but they're completely separate entities. And as a matter of fact, in some of the research material and the articles that were circulated, it was pointed out that IPAID was actually one of the, it was a competing trust fund, but it was one of the entities that brought forward to the state and said, this other trust fund, the ITF. This is not realistic what they're doing. They're making false promises. I mean, I don't know that I'd characterize IPAID as a whistleblower, but they were one of them coming forward to the state and saying, this is not a scrupulous company. Their practices are bad. Their practices are unsafe, and they're over-promising and under-delivering. So I wanted to make sure that when this does is discussed here later in the meeting, that council is aware that they are two very, very different entities. Two very, very different entities. And then the last I wanted to comment that's not in here. Elaine Shala. Is that right? Yeah, Elaine Shala last year.
Elaine Shala, yes.
Last year had volunteered and had done some work in the median out here on Sunset Street. She also facilitated or coordinated.
I think Lisa Haverkamp helped her too.
Yes.
As I recall.
She also, there was some miscommunication, but there was some additional work that was done that the city paid for. Elaine has been out there this year. I think she said she spent about 3 hours and filled 16 bags despite her bad back. All of the spring cleaning has been, cleanup has been done on that. She did say that Lisa stopped up and helped briefly. I have had conversation with Curtis. It was easy to talk to Curtis Schoenthaler. I'm never sure I'm saying his name right. And he is willing to help me understand what are appropriate plantings out there so that we don't have some of the few obstructions that we had from the taller grasses. Also, the postal drop box is being moved from the community garden down by Stella up here at some point this year.
Well, in spring, probably.
Right. Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be moved. So whatever happens up there needs to be coordinated with all that. Anyway, I talked to Elaine. I knew that she had bought some mold or compost bags, and she adamantly declined my offer to reimburse her for anything. She said it was her way of volunteering. She appreciates that the city is, and she stepped up initially because she thought that it needed a little love and attention last year. So anyway, I have contacted her, but I wanted to give her a huge shout out for the work that she had done and pretty much on her own. And then the final shout out I have is to Mid-American Energy. It's in my report, but the city received $1,000 from their Trees Please program. When it came on the 31st and handed the mayor and I the check. That will be used to plant 3 or 4 trees, whatever we can do. And there'll be a matching, there has to be a matching in kind type thing. And Curtis, again, has offered to step up and do some of volunteer, some of the labor for that. But I just wanted to make sure that Mid-America got a shout out for that too. And the rest of the things you've mentioned, we do have our Swisher Trail Spring Hike Walk coming up. That is May 30th at 10 a.m. It'll be about an hour and a half, and that is going to be guided by District Forester Mark Vitosh. And it'll just be kind of a walk and talk. It's targeted at anybody that wants to come, but hopefully it will get some youth engagement. But there was a flyer that was circulated. I need to make a couple tweaks to it, and then it will be posted and distributed.
I stumble and do something.
That's fine.
My neighborhood people. So.
That's fine. The main thing is that it was suggested that I add the actual physical address. Okay. I said University Heights people know where to go, but then somebody else find out.
Okay.
So, no, it's great. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, I liked the flyer, and right away when I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm just going to text this. So
And feel free to distribute them electronically or physically. I will bring some cardstock in and print off a few to post around. I'll walk down the Sidekick and see if I might twist Katie's arm and get her to put it up on her board too. So, and I apologize, Mayor. I'm always long-winded, but any questions?
You're going to change the time also, right?
Not the time of the cancellation?
Yes.
Now I'll make sure that I'm prepared. They wanted to make sure that people knew the night before when we organized it, whether it was going to be canceled or not. It's a longer time window than I would put up, but that's in conversation with Mark, basically.
So you'll do it?
Yes, I will do it. Hopefully the weather won't be an issue and I won't even have to.
That's right. Don't want the website to blow up.
I'll get it posted. I just might take everything else down.
Okay. Great. Who came up with this flyer? That's so cute. That was you?
Yes. It took far longer than it should.
Very nice.
Anvil was very helpful.
Very nice. Thanks for all your work, Troy.
Thank you.
Any questions for Troy on any subject or want to make a comment on any subject? Okay, we'll go on to Mike Heverkamp's clerk report.
There is at the end of Troy.
Oh, we got to do the motion here. Consideration of motion to adopt the city administrator's recommendation to move the city's operating account to Hills Bank. And so that's what Troy talked about. And John's here. John did a lot of legwork on that. And did you want to speak a little bit, John, before? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Troy, thank you very much for the lead in. This kind of came to pass because our current the current financial institution, Midwest One Bank, who has an operating account, is being taken over by Wisconsin Bank. And so we took that in combination with one of our vendors leaving messages on my mayor's phone about bills not being paid. So I took this opportunity to look at different options. One, we can switch from paying by check to paying by ACH. We don't have to worry about checks getting lost in the mail or not being handled appropriately by a vendor or what have you. We had an instance where a vendor was complaining we didn't pay him, and I checked our account, and it cleared. I had the front and back image of the cleared check, and I had to point it out to him. So ACH is going to be better. Reached out to local finance institutions, and Hills Bank gave us a great quote, 0.25%. Below the Federal Treasury Reserve rate, with top rate, which is currently 3.75. So in our main checking account, as our money was sitting there, would be earning 3.5% interest, whereas right now it's not earning any interest. And the second closest bidder came in at 2.25. So it's almost a gift, but we need to make sure things are definitely on paper before we transfer everything over. I do owe Troy, Nick, and the mayor some additional analysis. As soon as tax season is over, I will do that. And that is to actually put together what is the reserve, minimum reserve we need to have in the operating account, adjusting for the fluctuations when our gross receipts are coming in for property taxes, in the spring, later in the fall, and then all of our disbursements. That is still something that I owe everybody, and maybe it'll be available for the next city council meeting, but I don't have it ready tonight. Regarding the warrants, I do want to point out that the OUP association dues did not go up. It's just a double. It's just, we're paying for 2 months. So, and that's the only thing I wanted to highlight about the list of warrants.
Questions for John? Okay. So, Troy recommends this. Also, consideration of motion to adopt the city administrator's recommendation to move the city's operating account to Hills Bank. Is there a motion? Motion by Nick, second.
I'll second.
Second by Tim. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Thanks for your work on this, John and Troy. Thank you. So now we'll go to the clerk's report. Sure. Thank you, Mike.
This is actually, having gone through all that, it's a good segue. That operations account, when we're always talking with our city exam about separation of duties, that account is part of it because I'm the person who deposits money into those accounts and John's the person who writes the checks. And our operations account from our end does not get a giant amount of money. It's rental permits, it's parking fees and things like that. So imagine my surprise in the past month when I opened a letter from the city of Iowa City for a check for $41,000 and their apology for double billing us for fire protection.
Yeah.
So we have more in that operations account from my end than I usually put in there. I surprised the guys at the bank with the size of the deposit for a change. So just to let you know, we'll be moving that along too. The only other thing I was going to mention in my report tonight is you have a motion to approve renewal of Sidekick Coffee and Books Class C liquor license. This is the start of liquor license season for the council. You'll have one a month for the next 5 months as we go through that. There's been a bit of a change this year. The alcoholic beverages division has now been subsumed in state government efficiency under the Department of Revenue directly. As Katie found out when she went to apply and her login didn't work and nothing was the way it was. And she and Nick contacted folks at the state and they said, well, here's your amount. And basically what happened was when they recoded everything, they did it by zip code, which puts us in Iowa City. Mm-hmm. And that your liquor license is based on the size of the town that you're serving in. So all of our liquor license would have more than doubled from 700 and some change a year to over 1500 to 1600. We've managed to get that straightened out. Nick ended up talking to them. Senator Weiner also talked to the folks there and said, that's not what we intended with that bill. So we are on an approval process that is what we've always done before. There's the state part, our local part. Chief does a background check on the owners. Our building inspector, Terry Gert, does structure compliance. He does fire compliance. He does health compliance in the case of Stella and in terms of their restaurant and things like that. So when we bring that to you, we'll have gone through all those steps. And like I say, this is the first one that we're going to do, but we'll be doing one a month now for the next 5 months. So that is before you. And that is just a simple motion as well to renew their Class C liquor license.
Okay. So this is consideration, a motion to renew Class C liquor license for Sidekick Coffee and Books. Is there a motion?
Come on.
By Lisa and a second by McKinsey. I saw your hand go up. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Does anyone oppose? Motion carries.
I'm going to abstain.
Oh, are you going to recuse yourself?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
You are? Okay.
4-0.
With one recuse. Okay.
Got it.
Very good. Thank you. And any questions for Mike? Okay. Thank you, Mike. We'll go on to John, City Treasurer report. I see you sent the warrants this afternoon, John. And did you have any additions to that?
No, I did get any alerts from our esteemed city clerk, Mr. Haverkamp, that there was anything.
No, nothing came in today.
Okay. So that is the list of warrants as complete as possible.
Okay, so are there any objection to paying the warrants? Hearing none, the warrants are paid by unanimous consent. Any questions for John? I know it's a busy time for you, John. Thanks for attending the meeting tonight. Appreciate it. And we'll go on then to finance. And Nick's going to talk about iPaid a little.
Sure, yeah. We've already talked about this a little bit. I am fine supporting the resolution 2610, I think. It's just, I think the other trust issue that has been brought up is potentially a cautionary tale not to put too many eggs in one basket. And I think, you know, one of the other big takeaways is that I think it's undisputed that 95% percent plus of the money goes out of the state of Iowa. So, you know, I think, you know, part of what we've talked about with these local banks is we like to support the local banks. There's multiplier effect. They sponsor things in our community. You know, people work there that live potentially in our community. So I think that's why our goal, and this is something to talk to, you know, John about too after tax season, but I think the goal is to still rely on the local banks. I think this could be a tool, you know, that we may need in the short term, especially if we have an influx of a lot of money. I do get concerned, you know, financial advisors are good at what they do, but they're also potentially good at kind of taking the reins and pulling things in. And so I think it will potentially involve a little city pushback in terms of, you know, allowing us to just totally go into it with our money, which I think there are state limitations, if I understand correctly, on the percentage of total public funds that we can put into it. And it has to be, I think, consistent with some investment policy provisions, but, you know, it's not FDIC insured also. So, you know, from all indications, as Troy has articulated, there don't seem to be issues with this fund. And, you know, Troy said potentially they were a whistleblower, which is great. But you never know. I mean, if you could predict the future, you wouldn't have issues like the other fund. So, so I think, yeah, I'm ready to support it. I just think we need to keep talking about staying diversified, supporting local banks, understanding that, you know, anything can happen in terms of if you don't have FDIC insurance, you know, it could be gone. So just being responsible.
So the consideration of resolution 2610 is before you. Would you like to make a motion for that, Nick?
Sure.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Doug. Discussion. Any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Carried 5-0.
Thanks, Nick, for doing the homework on that. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about tonight? Any other questions for Nick? Thank you. We'll go on to community protection, and police chief is here tonight. I liked your pictures in your report.
I thought you might.
Nice kids at the school.
That was really a highlight for the month with the guys.
I love that.
They enjoyed being down there with the kids, and man, they were well received. So beyond that, the only things I want to point out is, thank you, Troy, for covering me while I was away with the backgrounds for the liquor license. And thank you, Lisa, for working with the drug take-back post on the website. So hopefully we'll get everything taken care of. Beyond that, I really don't have anything. If you look at the number of calls for service, you can tell people were out of town for spring break. The number of house checks significantly went up.
Oh, my goodness.
We're probably 30% over what we were last month, which is good, though. People feel comfortable leaving their house and leaving us in charge of it. So all positive things for me. So
any questions for Chief? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Mackenzie, do you want to add anything?
Just that Chief Akers sent me a bunch of stuff on kind of laws from other neighboring cities and around regarding electronic bikes and scooters. And I've gone through it and need to meet with Chief Akers, and I think Nick also wanted to. So there's a lot.
There's enough to make your head spin in there.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to probably lean on you a lot for kind of what your recommendations would be. But Nick, also look to you and we'll kind of figure that out.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, everyone. We'll go on to streets and sidewalks. Ryan, you're going to start, right?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah. I probably won't, unless anybody's got any questions. There's several things in my report, just updates on things we've been discussing. Sure. I probably won't go into much detail, or I don't have much to add to most of those. I'll get to sort of the main resolutions, except for the update on the RRFPs at Sunset Procrest. The
update I got from the contractor or from their supplier after our regular meeting in March was that the shipment wasn't anticipated to be sent for the equipment until April 17, which is next week, next Monday, I believe is what it is. So in talking with the contractor, you know, it could take up to a week sometimes to, for that shipment to make it all the way to their warehouse, and then they'll schedule. So unfortunately, it's a lot later than we were hoping for, but they also can't control those equipment shipment dates. So we're looking at May 4th. So hopefully sometime here in the next few weeks, we'll be seeing those go in. So, and then sidewalk inspection program, we issued for quotations. We received 5 quotations, which is great. We got a good range, somewhere between like 20 and 24,000 for each quotation. And LJ Stevens and Company of Solon was our lowest quotation. I'm aware that they've done work like this in the past. So I've got really no concerns about them performing the work. Their submitted quote of $20,712.75 was under our estimate of just over 23,000. So generally speaking, I guess I'm recommending that council approve that quotation, and there's a resolution before council to do that and accept that quotation under resolution 2615, accepting the quotation for 2026 sidewalk repair project.
So moved.
Second. So you have that 2615?
2615.
First. Okay. Yes. Is there a motion?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Nick. Okay. Thank you. And a second? Okay. Second by McKenzie. Thank you. Discussion. Roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Carried 5-0.
And a reminder on that project that we will have to do a reinspection at May 1 to find out which properties are actually all incomplete and need to be added to the list. This number is based off of an estimate of 50% of the properties that did not contact us by December last year being included with the work. So that's how we sort of provided the contractors an estimate on the quantity. So the actual final number will probably change, I guess is what I'm saying, of the cost for that work. But remember that those would be invoiced. The actual construction costs will be invoiced to the property owners. The next item and resolution that we have is for the 2026 permeable paver cleaning. This is something we did last year, got started to make sure we were maintaining the permeable paver systems, the bays on Gulfview Avenue and Olive Court. We have standard budget items for these now. For the current fiscal year budget, we've increased that amount now that we've got a year under our belt with the quotation, the estimate of those costs and the number of times they're recommending cleanings. We've increased that budget to $5,500, which was helpful. They kind of provided us a quotation early in the budget system or budget process. So the cost for this year was $5,505.23. That includes essentially 4 cleanings, one at each street in the spring and one at each street in the fall. So in the spring, they'll do a more robust cleaning and they'll re-chip the joints, just more smaller 3/8 rock inside the joints. And then in the fall, they basically just sweep up the debris and haul it away and dispose of it. So that cost is only about $40 more than it was last year for the same amount of spilling. So it's like a 1% increase.
Okay, so 2616, accepting quotation for the permeable paving cleaning project 2026 is before the council. Is there a motion? Motion by Lisa, second. Second by McKenzie. Discussion.
I'm just curious, like, in hindsight, was this, do you think this was a bad idea to do these? It seems like a big expense. I don't know if we, or if this is just like made the project easier because of the drainage portion of it, or?
I guess I wasn't here when those projects were sort of passed or kind of recommended to council or approved by council. I do think I understand that council was looking for some sustainable solutions to the stormwater and the fact, and I will say in University Heights, there's a kind of a major lack of a storm sewer system, right? A lot of roads drain to single points. And so particularly on Golf View, it's a tricky grade situation with that road and getting the drainage all the way down to ultimately where the low point is. So I would say that it's that in that situation particularly, it's probably like I don't know if it was a bad idea, but I think that also because of the vegetation that's around that area, it's making it very difficult to keep it clean. Right. There's a lot of pine, evergreen trees. There's a lot of, I guess, just vegetative debris. So,
Sediment.
yeah, and sediment.
It was a lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
That or nothing.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess, yeah, it's hard to answer that question.
Yeah. And there are there any other options going forward that you can think of, like long term, if this is an expense that kind of adds up over the years, we could do?
Yeah, I mean, there's generally some concerns I have with the storm sewer system and network that runs out to that Golf View area, the way that it's routed. That's probably just due to the time frame it was put in. It runs through the backyards along Melrose, and then it appears it goes underneath the garage off Golf View and then to the intake system and then out that concrete flume that's on Golf View. So, I mean, if I were to do it again, like the empty lot that Paul Moore owns, like running a pipe potentially through the side yard there down to Golf View and then routing it on the front there would have probably been an option that we would have preferred to know. But those backyards, since they're lower elevation than Melrose, like I don't think you can ever really get rid of that.
Do you know whose garage it was under? I just know someone wants to get rid of their garage and they have like right on Golf View. I know they're looking like they have an
It's
architect.
125 Golf View, I believe. I don't know the fucking name. I guess off the top of
I'd
my
have
head.
to. I don't. Yeah, I have to look at my cousins.
Yeah, I think it's
Sister Wolves.
I think it's Michael and Dennis's.
Okay. Well, Struble's are off their garage on their property, actually.
Right, that's a whole nother issue where they built over the property
Yeah.
line.
Someone. Well, yeah.
It's something as a perk test to see if those actually absorb much
That's
water.
Dennis.
I mean, after
Yeah.
they've been in for a few years, if they come by and say 100 gallon of water and dump it and then time it, see how much water gets into the ground.
I mean, I guess we could look into doing something like that. I guess is your question ultimately, would you remove them
Yeah.
or is
I'd just
it?
like to know if the $5,500 that we're spending on, is it actually doing any good, or is it there's a power washing the brick and call it good?
I don't. You can inform her on, but I don't think we'd need to remove them. We just, if we don't keep them clean, water doesn't drain down them. So if we were not to perform the maintenance on it, it would just the efficiency or the efficacy of the would be diminished, and it would be more like just regular pavement. So we wouldn't have to remove them necessarily. We just wouldn't get the benefit of being permeable pavement because we'd be preventing any water from going between them.
Yeah, so I guess I should say that I think that doing the maintenance is going to work, right? It will keep them clean. We will continue to sort of monitor them with the maintenance. Last year was the first year we committed to doing the maintenance, right? So it's the first one time through. We had some issues just because it had been a few years since particularly all of court was installed, right? And so there was a little bit of extra work to get some of the vegetation that was growing up in the joints, but it's not necessarily like the joints were completely clogged with sediment. So
Last year they had them like torn up several times.
Yeah, let me change
On
the
Golf Field, at least. Like they were like
Well, yeah,
new
that was a
grades a grade.
separate, yeah, that was a
Okay.
separate issue. So
Okay.
that was repairs that they were doing underneath maintenance bond.
In settling or something,
Yeah, we
okay.
were having more sediment than we should have after their initial installation. So when we do our larger road projects, we will request a maintenance bond from the contractors for I guess generally like defective work, right? Is where the way I'd put it. And so We had a 5-year maintenance bond on the storm and pavement systems on Gulfview Avenue. And so I cashed that in with the contractors and said this was settling more than it should normally. So they came back and reset that. The reason they started and stopped is because things froze. And so they were trying to do it before winter so that we wouldn't have a lot of ice ponded in that area. And then we got a really cold snap that November, and they weren't able to actually physically get them dislodged because the rock was frozen. Okay. So the bricks were frozen together. So that's why they started and then had to stop. And then they came back and sorted and started.
I'm going to take your brain about a person thing then.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Resolution number 2616 is before the council. Roll call vote.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got that one more. We've got that simple motion for the street sweeping and the pavement marking with Iowa City. So in my report, this is kind of a long explanation in my report, but when we were discussing the 28D with City of Iowa City, their streets superintendent had mentioned that, or we were kind of asking some trade-offs since they have some roads within University Heights that are kind of landlocked by us, like on Lehman Court and Olive Court, trying to ask about trade-offs with street sweeping and things of that nature in that sort of partnership, that give and take. They ultimately said, you know what, it's not worth it to us for you to do that for us. We'd actually prefer to do some of that work for you and then just invoice you based off time and material. So in discussing this with Troy and with Doug and with Mayor Fromm, I think we've decided it's a pretty good idea to just try this out this year and see how it works, see what those costs ultimately become. Time and material basis of billing is usually, I think, considered pretty cost effective because they're not really raising their rates beyond just a certain rate that they established. So they're not like adding a certain amount for profit. So Iowa City does that work for the University of Iowa and they bill in the same way. This is how they perform the work on our traffic signals in town. They invoice University Heights already. So for this year, especially, it would just be sort of like, let's try this out. It would be the long lines, so the center lines, the double yellow center lines, and the turn lane lines. They would paint those with a 4-inch high build paint line, which is the same paint we've moved to also. That's the only kind of paint that they use. And then the street sweeping, they would just sweep the entire city over the next month here. So
we're here with Russ and some of our cobbles. Just see someone says that there's we'll need it.
I thought Russ.
I noticed that coming in today out around the west side.
Mm-hmm.
He has done the spring patching already, but I did notice that it's coming apart at the transition from Iowa City there.
Okay. Yeah, so Russ has done one review and fill this spring so far. So I guess we can follow up and let him know.
So we have the consideration of motion to enter into an informal agreement with the City of Iowa City Streets Division for sweeping and striping certain streets in University Heights on a time and materials basis. Is there a motion? Motion by Nick, second.
Awesome.
Second by Judd. And discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. You have a few other things, Ryan? I guess we're going to...
I think that's all I've got. Unless anybody had specific questions about anything else that's in my report. We are Melrose Avenue panel replacements. We met with Iowa City last week, the water superintendent, the wastewater superintendent, and their engineering department, and reviewed some new comments from them. So we're picking up some adjustments to the plan set today and yesterday and today. I'm trying to get that one shipped out for bids. I was hoping today, but it'll probably be tomorrow.
Thank you, Ryan.
And next week at our special meeting, besides considering the budget, we will also have a public hearing on the Melrose utilities, that there has to be a public hearing for that.
Yeah, wasn't published in the paper.
Yep. So the overhead underground joint utility project, that construction plan, we'll have a public hearing next week at the meeting. So, and we met with the utility companies at the end of last week to review some of the work too. So,
well, I don't know what happened to building, zoning, and sanitation.
No,
but I swear when I looked at the agenda, it was there. The first one, the one that we approved, I saw Tim's name.
Yes, it was there.
And now I'm like, yeah, what does yours look like? What is?
No, that was when some other things got changed.
Well,
I think that got getting greatly cut. Sorry, Tim.
So, Tim, we're leaving you out here. Would you like to add anything?
Nothing to add. There are, I was just sending Ryan a note that there are a couple sizable holes just west of Sunset on Kozer.
On Kozer.
So get them right, it's quite right.
You wanted to add?
On the north half of Kozer.
Okay.
There's potholes on all of them.
These are rattlings.
Okay. Sorry about that. We'll go to e-government, unless there's, and Lisa, you circulated a report and you've been working on adding all kinds of things to the website.
My breakfast is after our main meeting.
Did you want to?
So everybody should come on because it's delicious.
Yes.
Okay.
One caveat with the bike breakfast. Jeff Perrell injured his knee pretty badly. So he mentioned he may not be up to doing all of his usual lox and bagel spread this year. And I said we'd do everything we could to make sure we pick up the slack for him. So tours me up badly. I was talking to the guys in the shop.
Any questions for Lisa? And announcements? Any announcements? You know, we are going to have our special meeting on next Tuesday, April 21st. And it'll probably be about 20, 30 minutes. We had to add a couple things, but it will be real long. And just to take care of some city business that we need to do. And so that worked out nicely. And Steve Cool will be here for that too. Is there anything else?
I reminded Steve about asking to do some comparison charts and things
for
budget.
Yeah.
And he said he would have those.
He said he'd have it ready on the 21st. I'd already talked to Mackenzie about it. Thank you.
He said that I had asked him about it the other day. And he said the same thing. So I just want to make sure that was happening.
Thank you. Anything else? Is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone.